Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Renaissance Festival Podcast 2012, live from Convergence.
Yay! Yay! Woo!
Awesome. That was... How's everyone doing today?
Yay!
You know, I feel pretty good. It's all right. You know, things could be better.
We're so keeping that in the show, though.
Right?
My name's Matt Letter.
And I'm Tony Artem.
And we're the two hooligans that are currently running the Renaissance Festival podcast as much as we can ever call it being run. So today we have a very special show for everybody. We have two or three bands that are going to be playing for us this evening. And first up we have the Dregs.
Yep.
Yay!
And And I'm going to pass the mic over to them so they can tell us what they're going to play first.
Okay. All right, hi, we are the Dregs.
Yay!
Thanks everybody for coming out. We are playing We are the Dregs, shut up. We are playing at Harmonic Convergence tonight at 11:30, so
woo!
Come on by and watch that show if you would like to hear a little bit more. We're going to play a couple of songs that will get their debut, our in English debut. We got a brand new, totally original like song that Molly wrote called Gee-Eyed Maggie McGee.
Megan.
Sure.
Megan McGee.
Sure.
Megan McGee. I'm
so
sorry.
Glad we paid attention
Gee-eyed
to the
Gee-Eyed Megan McGee. So,
here we go.
We are the Dregs.
We're drinking.
We drink and write music.
We drink and write music and mostly,
ginger.
Quite frankly, mostly drink. That song was written by Molly. It's called Gee-Eyed Megan McGee, and it's a song about drinking.
And boys.
And boys.
And drink sock. Drinking boys.
And drinking I know boys. All the
songs. So, we call ourselves a comedy band. Comedy.
No, stop.
It's because people mostly laugh instead of clapping.
Yes.
See?
Well, we think we're funny.
It's because it beats calling ourselves musicians, which we are currently working on our most recent CD. This is our fifth full-length CD that we hope will be out the first weekend of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Well, but it should be out during the Renaissance Festival. What's the working title of it?
Do It Like You're Drunk.
Do It Like You're Drunk is the working title of our new CD. And neither of these songs will be on it because we wrote them since.
Well, we didn't write the next one. We interpreted the next one.
Yeah, the next one, we play a lot of traditional Irish music, but we really kind of hate traditional Irish music. Yes. So.
Oh, no.
We tend to bastardize traditional Irish music. That's the royal we, as far as Tim is concerned. We actually love
traditional Irish music, when you play music at a Renaissance festival, one thing that's very true is that a lot of songs get played by every band at the festival.
Right. Yep.
And so what we try to do is we find a way to kind of put a signature on the song and make the song ours.
Yonk it up.
So it doesn't sound like the same song that everybody else is playing. So this is a song we have not played for a long time because we couldn't figure out a way to make it ours. So.
Well, let's hurry up and do it because I have to take royal we.
Do we know any reels?
Yeah.
Give it up for the Dregs.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, you're all pretty.
All right, Laughing Hearts, you are the next contestant on Renaissance Festival Podcast. Come on down.
Hello, we're the Laughing Hearts. We have a very sweet. Yeah, it's radio. You can make noise. Really, go ahead. That's right. There it is. There it is. Rock it out. Rock it out. That's right. That's right.
Your pity spends the same.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's awesome. We plan out the Renaissance Festival and a couple other Renaissance festivals, and we have a fairly unique sound. I'm so far the only Irish playing music band out there that's got the bagpipe and the didgeridoo combo. So we're going to do a pile of instrumentals for you, and maybe some South Australia, depending on whether or not we feel like handing back the microphone.
Sounds good. What's the name of the first one?
The first one, yes. Should it be Swallowtail?
Yeah.
Swallowtail, we take that into Morrison's Jig.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, when you got a great ditch player like Jane Gergen, you don't waste it. And that circular breathing she's doing right now, everybody. Kind of amazing. That's right. Absolutely.
High five, and we high five at our audience, and everybody make sure you give yourself a high five. So that's our fun. I'm Kim Sabi. Often, yeah, thank you. And then we have our darling Anara, otherwise known as Stephanie Tattoo. Yeah, exactly right. And then the Didge Queen, Jen Gergen. Yeah, Jen and I started playing music together in 03 at the behest of all kinds of fun, looking forward to the Arizona Renaissance Festival, and it was just going to be a joke, and we weren't named anything that made sense, and then we decided to do it at other Renaissance festivals, and it just sprung from there, so yeah. It's very cool. We brought Nora on, Steph Tattoo, back in 09, and we've been the Laughing Hearts ever since, so we're going to play bagpipe too.
Awesome.
Okay, and the bagpipe is... Oh, I'm just going to keep talking.
Go for it.
Your chance. The bagpipe is a cute little Leicestershire small pipe. It's only got a single drone, and it's English, so it might have a little inferiority complex. We can't really help that. But if you guys wouldn't mind, at the count of three, yelling bagpipe, because I promise it'll be way more enjoyable for you if it's in tune. So if you don't mind, one, two, three.
Bagpipe!
See, I knew it. Oh, and we're playing Atoll. Atoll Highlanders.
Hey.
Whoa. Yeah, no. Good. Atoll is actually a set of islands. That's I'm using the proper Atoll.
Okay.
Atoll.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I know. It's the tuning song. It's our most requested. Thank you.
I was just wondering, where you're going to be, do you have any new projects in store, where you're going to be throughout the year?
Oh, I love that you're asking that. In less than a week, we're getting on an airplane, the four of us, actually. The three of us in the band, and then the lovely Fiance, who's going to be our cute merch boy, Eric Lingy of McDougal's Pride. We're all going to Alaska. Coming this Thursday, we're going to Alaska. We got a cute little tour set up that Jen took care of from knowing somebody there, and then built it into four more gigs that we didn't know we were going to have when we decided back in March. And so we're really excited to have an opportunity to visit someplace none of us have ever been. And I'm pretty sure the moose aren't going to know what to do about the bagpipe. for sure they're not going to know what to do about the didgeridoo. I'm just making that up, but I've decided. So I'm the one with the mic. I get to say what's going to happen.
Yep.
So, and then we're planning to be at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. It's really exciting for us.
Great. Well, thanks a lot. Everyone give it up for Laughing Hearts. All right, well, we all have our own special stories about the Renaissance Festival, those magical days that we spent wandering through the village, eating our weight in turkey legs, and all that other fun stuff. And so I've asked a couple of the entertainers from the Minnesota Renaissance Festival to come up and share a few of their favorite stories. And so first up, we're going to hear from Matt. Do we want to use your real name?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Everybody, this is Matt Alex.
My story is, it's a festival story. It depends a lot on the perception of a Renaissance Festival from the outside, which is usually, at least I've found, tinged with tales of debauchery and drinking and sexual proclivities that may be a little different than the average person's experience. And my tale is related to that, but is more of a tale of hope. I went to the annual event each year that the Dregs, one of the bands you just heard, does for the entertainers only, called Dregs in the Dark, where they do a show for all those folks like us that are busy working, in air quotes, during the day and can't go see them perform. Great idea. So what happens, though, is that it is after hours, so you can bring as much booze as you'd like. And this particular year, I brought all the booze. Ever. And thought, well, you know, the best thing to do with that would be to make sure I don't have to carry it back anywhere, and drank all the booze. Ever. And I went with my lovely wife and a couple of friends of ours from the Irish Cottage out at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. And the deal was, we told them they had to come see this show. We'd go back afterwards and help them do all the dishes and cleanup they would normally do. So it's now late in the evening. We're all well-sauced, me especially. We head back to the Irish Cottage. They begin doing dishes, and I don't. Here's where I don't remember the rest of the story, but I've had it related to me. At one point, Taffy and Becca and my wife looked up and said, "Hey, anybody seen Matt lately?" And no. Huh. I had wandered off somewhere into that great dark void of a Renaissance Festival after hours. So we sent our friend Taffy, who is a SWAT cop. We figured that's the most tactical guy, apparently, to go find me. And apparently, from talking to him a couple years later, what he did is he found me standing at the edge of a halo of light led off by the BLT, just kind of weaving and bobbing and swaying, not going anywhere, but entranced, because it's like a moth to a flame. And he found me, goes, how you doing? I said, good, real good. What are you doing? I said, going to my tent. He goes, this is not your tent. I said, it's a tent, not your tent. So he helps me down to the campground. He assures me that I should stay there. I assure him I will. He leaves. A couple hours later, my wife comes back down and finds me having thrown up in a large Rubbermaid tote, and which I thought very, very conscientiously put the lid back on. It was also full of tomorrow's costumes. And I, now, to my mind, what I did is went down to my tent, threw up in the tote, put the lid back on, because that's a nice thing to do if you have roommates, and then got undressed and got into bed. What happened is I threw up in a tote, did not put the lid on, and took one shoe off. My wife, because she is a better person than me, saw this and thought, well, I better help. And to bring me to bed, started taking my shoe off, and then went to undo my belt, at which point I roused myself from my blackout, swatted her hand away, and said, I don't even know you. So, yes, there is drunken debauchery and drinking out of the Renaissance Festival, but there is true love. Because even in my worst blackout state, some part of my reptile brain said, no, not going to go there. And so I have now had a pass for 6 years from my wife. I'm so mad at you. Remember that time that I didn't know who you were and I still wouldn't do it? Yeah, okay.
All right, thanks, Matt. All right, everybody, this is Salsa.
So this might be short because one of the reasons I like to work with Matt so much is because he does 90% of the talking and I get 50% of the credit. So we'll see how this goes, me being all by myself here. But my style of comedy out at the Renaissance Festival is what I like to call guerrilla comedy. I like to sneak out from the mists, attack you, and leave before you even know what the hell happened. So, one of the bits that I have done for a couple years is, I call it the millionth deposit bit. What I do is I lurk outside of one of the privy areas and wait for the correct target. And when said target exits the privy area, I step in front of them and I say, congratulations, and I shake their hand. At which point, a flock of people come rushing out with a big sign saying, congratulations on our 1 millionth deposit. I hand them a toaster, I hand them a bottle of sparkling grape juice, I hand them balloons, I hand them flowers. And the crowning achievement was a couple years ago, I got the Royal Trumpeters to blast a fanfare at this moment in time. Now that was pretty awesome. I felt really good about this. I had a lot of fun going on. The problem is, at that moment in time where I had told everybody to meet, somebody on the street had a huge crowd that they had been working for half an hour. And it wasn't a ring of people. It was like shoulder to shoulder, five people deep. He had a lot of people watching him really intently. And when those trumpets blew, every single one of them turned to face what was going on where we were. And he lost the crowd instantly, which I feel bad about to this day. I honestly feel bad about that. But at the same time, trumpeters. One of the people that was watching said performer perform was our entertainment director, who, after the bit got done, went backstage and said who was in charge of that bit, and everybody pointed at me, and he came back, and he proceeded to chew me out, as he should have, because I totally stomped on this other guy's bit. In my defense, I was on a schedule. And he gets done yelling at me, and I go, yes, I'm sorry. This is something I shouldn't have done. It won't happen again. I'll try not to do this ever again. He goes, okay, as long as you've got that covered. That having been said, that was really funny.
All right, thanks, Salter. Oh, and hey, I should have... do you have any projects and stuff that you're working on that we should know about?
What I was just talking about with Matt talking most of the time, me getting the credit, is we have a podcast, Apropos of Nothing podcast. Go to aonpodcast.com or download us on iTunes because we are awesome.
Also Jenna.
Also Jenna, who's not here right now. So, she's a person.
Sweet. All right, thanks. All right. And last up, we have Tim Wick.
My story is about pain, ladies and gentlemen. My story is about suffering for your art. I was going to tell a different story about this last year, but I actually want to talk about a time back in the dark ages of the Renaissance Festival, back before many of the people who listen to my band now were born, because I've been working out at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival now for 28 years. In my third year, which for the record was 1987. That's right. In my third year, we were still doing something at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival called Closing Gate Show, something that no longer happens. And one of the things that happened at Closing Gate Show was people would try to come up with elaborate ways to grovel for the king, elaborate ways to supplicate themselves before their monarch to show their monarch how awesome he was. And this had been escalating over the years, and in my third year at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, myself and some other friends, including Wayne Grimmer and Keith Spears, decided we had an idea. Now, this is really important. This is something you need to understand about any kind of large entertainment venue like the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. If you come up with an idea and your first response to it is, that is the dumbest idea I have ever had, nobody will ever laugh at that ever, it is golden. So our idea was something called the Kamikaze Gypsy Pole Vault Grovel. Now, the Kamikaze Gypsy Pole Vault Grovel was very simple. What it involved was a certain individual who was extremely stupid, me, standing on the hill behind the fence near the front gate. Now, if you were standing on the hill, you could be seen. The fence was quite tall, about 8 feet tall. And so if you ran down the hill, you would eventually be behind the fence and the audience couldn't see you. And the whole idea was, the Kamikaze Gypsy, me, was going to run down the hill and vault over the fence, landing in front of the king and supplicating himself in front of the king. And of course, the expectation was this would all go horribly wrong. It was simple. All I would do was run down the hill, holding a pole, screaming at the top of my lungs, and when I got to the bottom of the hill, I would take the pole and slam it into the fence as hard as I could. What this did was it caused the vines that were growing on the fence to shudder violently and the audience to go, oh my God! Because somehow in their lizard brain, they thought, I actually ran into the frickin' wall. And then it was over. That was it. Run down the hill, slam the pole into the wall, over. It got a huge laugh. So big, we decided we were gonna do it again. But we had to make it more complicated. Now, I'm not gonna explain how we made it more complicated over the course of 15 days of the Renaissance Festival. I will tell you that one day, after it had gotten extremely popular, we asked every single street performer at the festival if they would help us by, after I started running down the hill, come running over the top. So there were 50 people running down the hill after me, all of whom slammed into the fence. That was one. I'm not gonna talk about that one. I'm gonna talk about one we did near the end where what we decided to do was take a watermelon, a half a watermelon, and we were gonna put a scarf on it, and I would hit the wall, and then they would throw the watermelon over the wall, and it would land on the other side. Now, I know you're all thinking, oh, that's not a good idea. And you're right, but you don't know what happens next in this story. What happened was, I stood up on the hill, they asked me if I was ready, I shouted my normal thing, I was playing a gypsy, I would respond, you betting! And then they would say, vault that fence! And I would run down the hill screaming. You need to understand something about the geography of the land that I was navigating. The fence was located across a gravel road. So I would run down the hill. Now the hill had a really steep grade, I would say about 45 degrees. I'd run down the hill several times. There was a nicely worn path. I knew how to do it. But the trick is, you get near the bottom and there actually was sort of a drop off. You had about a foot and a half jump. So you would go down the hill, you'd do the foot and a half jump, you'd run across the road, and then you'd slam the pole into the wall because you don't want to go any further because on the other side of the road, there's another drop of about a foot and a half leading up to the wall. Standing there were two individuals who would help me every time because I would smack the stick into the wall. They would shake the wall to make it shake even better. And in this case, one of them was responsible for throwing the watermelon over the fence to complete the joke. So they asked me if I was ready. I said, you bet. I ran down the hill. I reached the point where you're supposed to leap off and land on the gravel path, and I did not do so. I tripped, and I landed on the gravel path with my knees. I still have the scars because it tore my costume at the knees. I slid across the path on the knees and rolled down into the ditch. The two people standing behind the fence are looking at me. My knees are masses of blood. They're going, oh my God, are you okay? And the only thing I could say was, finish the bit. That's all I got to say about that.
Thank you, Tim Wick. Do you have any other stuff that you're working on?
Well, yes, I'm glad you asked. I am the director of Vilification Tennis. We do have a podcast that we are now recording bi-weekly. You can listen to at www.vilificationtennis.com. There's also new comedy material there every Monday morning. So we encourage people to go and read that. And in addition to that, we are starting up a new theater initiative called Fearless Comedy Productions. So we're going to have a lot more information about that there. The other thing I do need to say is at vilificationtennis.com, we just launched a Kickstarter campaign so we can produce the Vilification Tennis home game because we've been playing it and it's a lot of fun and we would like to make it available for other people to play. And the other thing I'm going to plug, yes, there's other crap I'm doing, I'm sorry, is a new podcast that I'm doing with Vilifiers Molly and Nick Glover called Geeks Without God that you can find at www.geekswithoutgod.com. So thank you for listening.
Thanks a lot, Tim. All right, and that is our show for this evening. And we want to thank everybody for coming out. I want to thank the Dregs, Laughing Hearts, Matt, Salsa, what's her name? Tim. No, especially...
Fuck you all! Finish the podcast!
And especially thanks to all of you for listening. I really, really appreciate it. And thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.